Our Mishnayos, Mishnah Dalet and Mishnah Hey in Yevamos Perek Yud continue with the theme of our Perek, which is where one spouse has gone overseas and we don't exactly know their status. Have they passed away? Are they sick? Are they missing? We don't know what happened to them. And this Mishnah continues with that same theme from the opposite perspective. Misha Hocha Ishto L'Medinas Hayam. Now, instead of the man having gone overseas and us not knowing what happened to him, now the woman, the wife, has gone overseas, and we don't know what her status is. Is she dead? Is she sick? Is she lost? Uvav v'amrlo. And then Edim came, witnesses came, and told the man, Meista ishtecha, your wife has passed away. And so now the man is unmarried, and so he's free to marry whoever he wants, including v'nasa esachos. So he's free to marry the woman's sister. If his wife is still alive, he would not be allowed to marry her sister. But now that she's confirmed to be dead, so he can marry her sister. V'achar kach ba'as ishto, and then his wife returns. So on his wife's return, his current relationship, his relationship with his wife's sister, is revealed to be a relationship of nus. It's a relationship that's liable to the punishment of kares, your wife's sister. So now his wife comes back, and the relationship he is in is a relationship of iser kares, mutaras lachzer lo. So he ends the current relationship, and his wife is permitted to return to him. He can remarry his wife. And the first marriage is totally meaningless. He has no relations with that woman, with the sister of his first wife, and she has no relations to him. That relationship, that second marriage, was totally meaningless. The first marriage was in existence all the time, and they can be reunited. And then, if the first one dies, if his original wife dies, in fact, Mutar Bishnia, then he can remarry the second one. The whole interlude, the whole marriage in between, was not a meaningful marriage. It doesn't create any Isser for the future, it doesn't create any Isserim now, it's as if it never happened. Amrlo, Mesa Ishtecha. What if they said to him that your wife has passed away? And again, he marries her sister, which would have been Asr as long as his original wife was still alive. V'achar kach Amrlo, and subsequently they said to him, Kayemes Haisa V'Mesa. It's true that she is dead, but at the time you married her sister, at the time you married with now your current wife, she was alive. And at the time you began this relationship, it was a relationship of Isser, it was a relationship where the Kedushin, the marriage, doesn't even work. So she was alive, and now she's dead. So Havlad HaRishon Mamzer, so that first child from that marriage, the child that was born prior to the actual death of his wife, is a Mamzer, because it was a forbidden relationship, it's your wife's sister, and even though he didn't know, that doesn't change the status of the child, who is still a mamzer. Va'acharon, but the second child, meaning any subsequent children after his wife, has in fact passed away, in a mamzer, again, because the relationship before his wife passing away is meaningless. It's a relationship of Isser, and there's no marriage whatsoever. Subsequently, after his wife passed away, it's a relationship, therefore, of total heter. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol sheposel al yidei acherim, posel al yidei atzma. V'chol she'eno posel al yidei acherim, eno posel al yidei atzma. Rabbi Yossi says a cryptic statement, anyone who makes posel to other people is posel himself, anyone who doesn't make posel to other people is not posel himself. And what Rabbi Yossi is really doing here is pointing out what might be a fundamental inequality. For example, what would happen if there were two people, for example, Reuven and Shimon, and they are married to two sisters, Leah and Rachel. And then, so Reuven is married to Leah, and Shimon is married to Rachel. And then Shimon, Reuven's brother-in-law, Shimon, travels overseas with his sister-in-law, with Reuven's wife, with Leah. So Reuven's wife, Leah, and Reuven's brother-in-law, Shimon, who's not related to him directly, is related through his wife, so they travel overseas. And they're overseas, And news comes back that they both, Shimon, Reuven's brother-in-law, and Leah, Reuven's wife, have passed away. So what happens? So now Reuven decides, well, we might as well join the families. Shimon traveled away and he's dead, so now Rachel, his widow, needs a husband. My wife Leah, who's Rachel's sister, traveled away. She's passed away, and so I might as well marry Rachel, my wife's sister, my brother-in-law's wife, might as well join the families. So what would happen in such a situation if Moshe and Leah suddenly come back? If Shimon and Leah suddenly come back, both Shimon, Reuven's brother-in-law, and Leah, Reuven's wife, return from their journey overseas, it's clear that they were not dead. And so what would normally happen in this case is that Rachel, who is Shimon's wife, would be usher to Reuven. Would be usher to Shimon, and she'd be usher to Shimon, as we said at the beginning of our parak, because any woman whose husband goes overseas and is reported to be dead, and she remarries on the basis of incomplete testimony, and then her husband returns, is penalized for not doing enough research. And the penalty is that she's not able to return to her first husband. So Rachel, who was married to Reuven's brother-in-law, or who is Reuven's sister-in-law, who's now married to Reuven, would, in theory, not be able to return to her husband, not be able to return to Shimon. But our Mishnah just said that, from the male perspective, this Isser that's created by the lack of knowledge is not the case, meaning we just said that if when Reuven's wife, Leah, returns, then it's as if anything that happened in between was meaningless, and he can remarry his wife, Leah. So in this case, what's going to happen? Leah is going to return, and she's going to be able to remarry Reuven, and what's going to happen on the other hand is that it would seem Rachel is now going to be usher to her husband, Shimon. So Reuven can remarry Leah, there are no consequences for him, and Leah... And then Rachel is going to be usher to Shimon because she's the woman who married while her husband was away, thinking he was dead, but he wasn't really dead, and so we penalize her. And so Rabbi Yossi points out that this is a fundamental inequality. And he says in this case, in this particular case, not in every case, but in this particular case, where there is, where it's clear that Rachel's marriage to Reuven was completely meaningless, that Rachel could not have been married to Reuven because Reuven was still married to Leah. Reuven was married to Rachel's sister. So that marriage was completely meaningless. It wasn't a marriage. So in such a case, Rabbi Yossi says, if Rachel was in a transparently meaningless marriage, so then there's no concern about her returning to her first husband. She can return to Reuven's brother-in-law, to Shimon, because the entire concern was that she'd be in this semi-married state, the state of marriage, when she's really a married woman, and that's going to be a confusing situation. And therefore, we create a certain amount of penalties to ensure that we don't get, partially, to ensure that we don't get into such a situation. And so, Rachel, though, in this situation, where Reuven is going to remarry his wife Leah, he's not going to, and it's revealed that marriage with Rachel was meaningless, it was based on a mistaken assumption, so therefore Rachel will not be obligated to separate both from Reuven and Shimon, and will not be obligated to get a divorce document from her first husband from Shimon, and she will be mutter to go back to him. So in this case, Rabbi Yossi says, we equate the two, just like Reuven is able to remarry Leah because his marriage in between with Rachel, even though it's her sister, was meaningless. And that relationship, even though it's your wife's sister, was a meaningless relationship, even though it was usher. So therefore, since Reuven is remarrying Leah, therefore Leah's sister, Rachel, is able to remarry her husband Shimon, which in a general case, as we discussed at the beginning of this parak, would not be permitted. So that's the conclusion of Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey, Amru Lo Meisi Ishtecha, similar case, where they came to the man whose wife had traveled overseas, and they said, your wife has passed away. V'nasa achosa me'aviha. And in this case, he married her sister, but he married her sister from her father. And actually, for for this mission, it would be helpful if we had some sort of chart, but we'll have to try to formulate it and explain it well. So Mesa Ishtecha, his wife, passed away, and he marries her sister, Mesa, v'nasachos ami'ima. Now his second wife dies, or is reported to have died, and so he marries her sister. But in this case, he doesn't marry her sister from her father, he marries the second woman's sister from his mother. So let's say we have Leah, Rachel, and now he marries Bilhah. So his third wife is Bilhah, is the sister of Rachel from her mother. Mesa, v'nasachos ami'ima. Then Bilhah dies, and so he marries Bilhah's sister from her father. He marries Zilpah, who is, say, Bilhah's sister, but in this case, a sister from the father again, Mesa, and then Zilpah dies, v'nasa achosa me'ima, and he marries her sister, marries Zilpah's sister, but this not Zilpah's sister and Bilhah's sister. He marries Zilpah's sister from her mother. Let's give her a name, Tamar. So far, this man has married five sisters in sequence, but he's never married five direct sisters. It's not five sisters from the same person. It's five interlockingly related sisters. So he married one woman. The second woman he married was that first woman's sister from her father. And he married the third woman, who was the second woman's sister from her mother. Fourth woman was the third woman's sister from her father again. Fifth woman was the fourth woman's sister from her mother. So none of these five women are directly related except to the people immediately before and after them. So one is related to two is related to one and three is related to two and four is related to three and five, but to no one else. Nimtzu kulan kayamos, and then they all return. They all come back. So obviously, as we discussed, you're not allowed to be married to your wife's sister. And it's clear in this case that he's had a number of relationships which are impossible, which are completely not actually marriage. So in this case, Mutar Barishonu B'Shlishis V'Chamishis, he's allowed to remain married to women 1, 3, and 5. Because as we said, each woman is related to the woman before her and after her in the chain. So 1 is only related to 2, but not to 3. 2 is related to 1, therefore her marriage was never really marriage, because 1 was still alive at the time that she was thought to be dead. So the second marriage was never really a marriage. Therefore, woman 3, who was related to 2 and 4, but not to 1, can stay married to the man, because now 1 is his wife, 2 was revealed to never be the man's wife, and so 3 can stay married. And then once 3 is married, that reveals to us that the man was never really married to 4, because 4 is the sister of 3. So since 4 was never really married to the man, so then 5, who's related to 4, Tamar, who's related to Zilpah, is that marriage was a good marriage. The Kedushin was Tofes, it was effective Kedushin. The marriage was valid, and therefore women 1, 3, and 5 are actually married to him, and can stay married to him, right? Because 1, 3, and 5 are not related to each other. And let's say the man eventually dies without any children, so a Yibum to one of these women would exempt the other women, because they're full wives and unrelated to each other. So just like in the normal case, once Yibum is done to one of them, the other two are allowed to marry whoever they want. Vasa Rishniya Rivias, and as we said, women 2 and 4, Zilpah and Rachel, are both Aser to Reuven, because in the case under discussion, Reuven was married to 1 and 3, and therefore the Kedushin with 2 and 4, with Rachel and Zilpah, was never effective. Vein v'yas achas man p'teres rasa, and if Reuven dies and someone attempts to do Yibum to either number 2 or number 4, to either Rachel or Zilpah, that's a meaningless Yibum, because Reuven was never really married to them, so you can't do Yibum to them. The brother of Reuven can marry 2 or 4, but the Yibum is meaningless, and therefore it doesn't have any impact on the Yibum that really has to happen. Let's say it came out that not all the wives were still alive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were not all still alive. Only 2, 3, 4, and 5 were alive. One had actually passed away. The first one, Leah, had actually passed away. So the marriage to Rachel, the marriage to Leah's sister in that case, was a valid marriage. It was an effective marriage because Leah was gone, so now Reuven was entitled to marry her sister. So he's Mutter Bishnia of Arivias. Now, in this case, he's the two women who are Usser to him in the first case, whose marriages weren't effective in the first case, those two women are the women who have an effective marriage in this case. Because Rachel, Leah's sister, was married to him, that stands in the way of Bilhah, Rachel's sister, from marrying Reuven, which means Zilpah, number three's marriage, Bilhah's marriage, was an ineffective marriage, which means now that number four, Zilpah, can marry Reuven, because Bilhah, who in the first case was preventing her marriage to Reuven from being effective, was never married. It was impossible for her to be married because number two was already married to him, and so number three was not married to him, and so therefore number four could be married to him. But once four was actually married to him, that prevents five. That stands in the way of number five, who is the sister of four, from marrying Reuven, and therefore Reuven is only really married to number two and four, and is not allowed to be married, is also to numbers three and five, who are the sisters of two and four. Who puts her sort of saying that that's a complete marriage, and if Reuven dies without any children, so the Yibam to one would exempt the other, would fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam, v'asur b'shlishis v'chamishis, and he is also to number three and five, because they're the sisters of two and four, v'ein v'yasachas v'ein v'terasarasa, and Yibam to one of them is meaningless, because Reuven's was never really married to them, so while the brother of Reuven could marry them, it's not Yibam, and would not exempt the tzara, would not exempt the other people married to Reuven.